Ours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Man with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Good morning, I'm Carol Dooley. You're very welcome to join me now for another edition of Hours to Protect, our monthly series on climate change and climate action. And this morning we're putting the spotlight on protecting our beautiful beaches and marine life. Leanne Costello, the Clean Coast Biodiversity Officer, will join us shortly to talk about their initiatives aimed at celebrating the beauty of our coasts and the Think Before You Flush campaign, which was set up in response to the prevalence of sewage-related litter on Irish beaches. Patrick Cross, who is the campaign officer, will join us later on to tell us more about that and the Think Before You Pour campaign as well. But first, Sunshine's Jane McNamara recently spoke to young students in Ballybrack about their commitment to protecting our coasts and the environment.
As part of the Hours to Protect series, I've been talking to young people around Dublin about climate action, and I think I may have found the county's youngest climate campaigners. Children in second class in Skullcolumbkill Junior National School Ballybrack took 2 days out of the school year to clean up areas in their locality, all in the name of protecting their environment. On a cold winter's day, the group and their teacher headed to Killiney Beach to pick up rubbish. They did this with the help of Flossie, a marine environmental charity dedicated to safeguarding our oceans. I asked the students, aged just 7 and 8, why they wanted to do this and what they took from the experience. I learned that a love of animals was central to their motivation.
So we went to the beach and we found loads of like cigarettes, and we found mostly plastic in bottles. And we found mostly cigarettes all around the beach, and we found glass and paper that's not meant to be there, and we found loads of things that could kill the animals.
Well, there was a lot of it where the rocks were. There was a metal squares, but there were where loads of rocks were, and there's loads of rubbish in between the rocks.
Did you feel good after picking up the rubbish?
Yeah, because when we were at the beach, there is animals that they can eat the rubbish. So I liked cleaning up the beach.
It was really fun to help the environment at the beach, because I don't like when animals get sick and they have to they get caught in nets and in the sea, and some of them die. And we found loads and loads of plastic in between the rocks and on the wall thing, and it was freezing.
What do you know about how we can help marine life?
We can pick up loads of rubbish and try to get some that's in the sea. We can put it in bags to throw it in bins and make posters to tell people to stop throwing rubbish on the ground or the beach.
The things could start going into the sea and then start killing animals and the corals in the sea. And we mostly found bottles and paper for some reason.
That was second class in Skullcolumbkill Junior National School Ballybrack, who braved the elements on a cold winter's day to clean up their beloved Killiney Beach. Later on, we'll be hearing how they got on cleaning up Kilboggett Park.
Now, over the last 2 decades, Clean Coasts has gone from strength to strength and has a number of initiatives aimed at celebrating the beauty of our coastline and strives to create tangible and immediate improvements to our coastal environment with the help of many volunteers. Well, here to tell us more about that is Leanne Costello, the Clean Coasts Biodiversity Officer. Leanne, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us this morning. Before we find out more about the various Clean Coasts initiatives, can you, if this doesn't sound like an obvious question, give us an overview of exactly what Clean Coasts is all about?
I can indeed, and thanks so much for having me on. It's great to talk about the organisation. So Clean Coasts is a programme under ANTASCA, which is the National Trust for Ireland. It is a community-based programme, so we have a couple of people employed to facilitate community groups, but the main drive is our community groups. And I quite often ask the question, if I'm out with a general public group, have people heard about Clean Coasts? And sometimes we don't get a huge amount of people knowing who we are, which is amazing, because we do have 2,000 groups registered all around the coast of Ireland. Almost a group on every beach. These groups vary from, I suppose, going out for maybe just a yearly action. So we have one big call to action every year called the Big Beach Clean. So they might just register for that, go out once a year, do that. It's after the bathing season. So when you've had heavy action in the summer months on beaches, lots of tourism, all that sort of stuff, people go out, do a big cleanup. Or it could be groups that go out nearly every day, or it could be once a week. Most of our groups will, their primary thing is doing cleanups, but it can also range towards doing dune restoration projects, nature education, organising walks and talks in their local dunes, in their beach, and citizen science projects. So it's a wide variety of stuff. Basically, if a community group wants to do something and they want to be a part of Clean Coast, they just let us know and we'll try to facilitate it the best way we can.
And have you noticed over the last few years, would you say, or even in recent, very recent years, that people are becoming better or more cognizant of the effect that they can have, positive and negative, on our beaches? Are we becoming better, or are we still, do we still have a lot to learn?
I'm a super positive person with this sort of stuff, so I don't know if I could work in what I do if I felt like everything was quite negative. And I see changes all the time. I know, I suppose I work in an area where people are quite passionate about it, but I go out with different groups. You know, sometimes it is people who are community groups. I also will go out with corporate groups as well, who maybe don't have as much a connection with the coast. Pretty much everybody I meet is really buzzed about it, really enjoys being on the coast, wants to care for it, and is quite often disgusted or upset when they see people misusing it.
Yeah.
So I think on a whole, we're going in the right direction. I think behaviours are changing, and behavioural change is obviously slow. So sometimes it's a bit disappointing that things aren't changing fast. But it is, from my, I suppose, anecdotal experience, going in a nice direction. Now, I suppose the people who are maybe have incorrect behaviours on the coast, or are littering or causing damage, the effects that they can have is huge. So even though you have a small group of people doing it, it can have really big and lasting effects on our coastal environment.
And you would like to think that we are becoming better and more educated as to the impact of our actions, you know, on our beaches and on marine life and the sea.
I believe so. I think we're all getting a huge amount more information about these things. There's a lot of amazing organisations, lots of people that we work with within Ireland, other stakeholders that work within this realm that are doing huge work to try and promote these areas. And I think it is having an effect. I hope it is. And I hope anyone listening today, if they go, oh, actually, I don't really know a huge amount about our coasts, our beaches, our marine environment, even thinking about the connections to our marine environment, so those inland waterways, our rivers, our lakes, I would encourage them to go look into it a bit and learn something about it. Go to an event, go just hang out by the coast, by the sea, have a swim, whatever it is, obviously with huge water safety in mind, but experience these things, just being in these places. They're amazing spots. We have wonderful natural beauty in Ireland. The first thing is just to be in it, and then you start to care about it more.
Absolutely. Okay, well, tell us about some of the initiatives that Clean Coasts undertake every year. I know that there's one big one that you want to talk about, the Clean Coast Observers and Explore Your Shore workshop, which sounds quite exciting. Talk us through all those.
Yeah, so this is an initiative that we launched back in 2021, which is the Clean Coast Observer. And we're with this initiative, we're doing a collaboration with the National Biodiversity Data Centre's Explore Your Shore program. Now, the National Biodiversity Data Centre works to gather information on and data on nature around Ireland with the aim to try and track changes through time to see what's changing. And I suppose if we think about things like climate change and non-native species coming into Ireland, just ensuring that we have eyes on what's changing in nature. And when it comes to the coast, it's a little bit of a harder place. Maybe we have a bit more information inland, and they require citizen science to help them with that. So citizen science being a general public member, helping scientists with their research through data collection, analysis, and a variety of different means. So that's what the National Biodiversity Data Centre does. Our initiative, the Clean Coast Observer, is all about encouraging our community groups. So if you are a Clean Coast volunteer, or if you're hoping to become one, or you listen to this interview and you're like, that sounds like great, and you would like to become a Clean Coast volunteer, is we're trying to encourage those people to also look at what's around them and start to monitor what is on our coast and what's changing on our coast.
And how do they do that?
So we have a sign-up link online, so you can go to cleancoast.org. You can there register to become a Clean Coast observer. On that page as well, we have a number of events that are happening around the country. So we have 8 community groups that we're working with directly as ambassadors for the Clean Coast Observer initiative. So they'll be hosting the events. Clean Coast will be facilitating them, but we're the group, I suppose, will be the main people at the event. But it is for general public, so anybody can also come along. So you can sign up to the events online as well. And there's one extra step that if you do complete, we'll send you out a lovely free citizen science pack. And that is that the National Biodiversity Data Centre have an online free course to learn all about our marine environment and the different species that you will find along the coasts in Ireland. And if anybody is interested in it, they can go either through the website or they can find us on Eventbrite on Clean Coasts. When we're talking about nature stuff, I get very excited because I find it so wonderful. And when we talk about nature, biodiversity, climate, these things can be really scary for people. And maybe we have a disconnect from them and we're hearing about all the negative news. But just being in that space and seeing a periwinkle, seeing a limpet sucked onto a rock, or finding a shark egg case on the beach. So your listeners might know, but we have 39 species of shark in Ireland. Yes,
really?
We do indeed.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Quite often, I find them all the time around Dublin Bay. There'll be small spotted cat shark egg cases that wash up on shore, and we're able to then monitor those. That goes into a research project that then can tell us where nurseries are based around all of Ireland and help to protect them.
And these events go through November, don't they?
Through to November. So we're all around the country. We've just had one in Clare on Fallaghy Shore. We're then heading over to Dublin, then down to, I believe we have one in Cork up next, Wexford, then over on Grattan Beach in Galway as well. And all these events are listed on the Clean Coast website or just directly through our Eventbrite page. You can find these.
And all this wonderful, the negative ions coming from the sea. I mean, you're saying it's exciting and it's fun, and it's also obviously very educational and informative, but it's also very good for your own physical, mental and emotional health.
100%. I spend once a day per week by the beach, and I have so little stress around what I do because I get to be outside, and it's amazing. I'm the luckiest person in the whole entire world. But the power that you get from just being in these environments, and I also, you know, my interest in these things, I've studied stuff in later years, but my interest in this stuff is because since I was a kid, I've just loved being in the water and being on the coast and on the beach. And a lot of my primary memories are of that, with my family, surfing, swimming, snorkeling, checking out rock pools. So that's where you start from. And I would encourage everyone to have that in that, I suppose, an inquiry in that yeah, fascination with these spaces, just being in these spaces and being fascinated by them, and as you say, negative ions, feeling the power of it as well is so important.
And it's such a lovely thing to do with the kids as well. And just to go back to what you said, your memories of growing up in the water, that if this is something that you can encourage with your own children, not only will they have happy memories, but it will actually foster in them an appreciation for the sea, for marine life, for taking care of the planet, which is what we're all about now. Well, it's what we all want to achieve.
Completely. And I will caveat that with one thing, because I work a lot with school children, and I would go out and workshop, and school kids and kids in general are so fascinated. They absolutely love it. And it is wonderful to bring kids to these events, and I really do encourage it. And if anybody is interested in getting their kids involved with Clean Coast stuff, you can reach out, you can become a volunteer, all those things. It's the adults I find much harder to convince.
Really?
And they would nearly switch off and say,
no way,
oh, that's not for me. And I'm that's, you know, that's a separate thing that I do. So even though, yes, please encourage your kids to be out and love it and make memories with them in that space, because that's really important for them going forward. But also, please make memories yourself in that space and reconnect.
Don't underestimate the experience or the power of it. Are there any other events going on over the summer months, particularly in the Dublin area, Leanne, that you could share with us?
Specifically for Clean Coast, a lot of our events happen from January, February through to May, early June.
Right.
So we take a little bit of a chill out, but that doesn't mean that there's not things happening. So we have, I think we have over 300 groups registered in Dublin as Clean Coast groups. And all of these groups will be doing activities throughout the summer months. So whether it's just going out for a beach clean, they might be organising something, an event for Heritage Week. There's a lot of stuff that could be coming up at a community level. So if anyone is interested, they can, again, register with Clean Coast, or they can just get in touch, or they could even just look out for a local community group that is on the coast that is hosting an event and get out there and do it. And these people are amazing as well, and they might have, you know, you might make some new friends, not only learn something new, but you might actually get a good new gang to hang out with.
It's a win-win all around, isn't
win-win.
It?
Win-win.
It could be potentially life-changing. You never know how it could impact your life in the most positive way. So again, if anybody wants to find out more information, Leanne, what is the website, first and foremost, that they should go to?
So they can head to cleancoast.org. And if they want to find us on social media, we're at Clean Coast on everything.
All right, Leanne Costello, Clean Coast Biodiversity Officer. An absolute joy to speak with you. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
Thank you so much.
This is Sunshine 106.8. I'm Carol Dooley, and you're listening to Hours to Protect, our monthly series on climate change and climate action. Up shortly, we'll be talking to Patrick Cross, who is the campaign officer for the Think Before You Pour and the Think Before You Flush campaigns, operated by Clean Coast in partnership with Ishka Éireann and set up in response to the prevalence of sewage-related litter on Irish beaches.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Hours to Protect, our monthly series on climate change and climate action. I'm Carol Dooley. Thank you for joining us this morning. Shortly, we'll be talking about the issue of flushing unsuitable items down the toilet and the repercussions to the environment from pouring fats, oils and grease down the kitchen sink. Campaign officer for the Think Before You Flush and the Think Before You Pour campaigns, Patrick Cross, will tell us more shortly. But first, here's Sunshine's Jane McNamara.
Think Before You Flush is a campaign operated by Clean Coasts that aims to protect our natural environment and wastewater network. The campaign linked up with second-class students from Scoil Columbkill Junior National School Ballybrack to talk about issues like sewerage-related litter. The students then set out on a mission to clean up Kilboggit Park. Here's what the students had to say about their day out.
It's a really nice park. You can walk around it. And it has, like, a lake. And it has ducks.
And what kind of rubbish did you pick up?
We picked up bars. I know some people picked up a big blanket.
I found smoke boxes, plastic bottles, glass, dog poo in the bags. We found loads of bottles that was full.
And how did you feel seeing all this stuff on the ground?
Bad.
Tell me what you all found in Kilboggit Park and what you did with it.
We found rubbish underneath benches. We found a paper mug, and we found lots of Pringle boxes.
It was on the football pitch. There was we found a smoke, and me and my friends also like found a slushy, like a slush puppy, and we found loads of plastic bags. Or like bags that are like for crisps, and then we found a bottle and two bags of dog poop.
Your teacher told me that you all saw a lot of dog poop, that you couldn't understand that people had put the poop into the bag but then not put the bag in the bin. What do you think of all that?
That's just bad, and I wouldn't do that because it's not really good to do that, because then if like another dog comes along and eats some plastic, then it will be bad for them.
There was loads of ropes, cigarette things, and there was this big like black tub, and a bottle with like water in it, and loads of crisp packets.
I found dog poop and Luke's eyeball.
And what do you think about people leaving stuff behind them in the park?
Bad.
Why?
Because they keep throwing on the ground and not putting it in the bin.
That was second class in Scoil Columbkill Junior National School Ballybrack, proving that everyone can help when it comes to climate action and protecting our environment.
That's absolutely true. And often, though, when we're in the kitchen, because let's face it, kitchens can be very busy places, we don't pay enough attention to what we pour down the sink, and indeed, when we're using the bathroom, what we put in our toilets. Well, here to tell us about the Think Before You Pour and the Think Before You Flush campaigns is Campaign Officer Patrick Cross. Patrick, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Can you tell us why these campaigns are so important and why we all need to take more responsibility in the kitchen and the bathroom so that we can take better care of our environment?
Yeah, so we focus on two things. Think Before You Flush looks at what you should and shouldn't flush down the toilet. Sanitary waste is a big issue here, with wet wipes being a main focus. And then Think Before You Pour is similar, but it's in the kitchen, and it advises on what's safe to pour down the sink and what you shouldn't. So that's fats, oils and greases from cooking, or foods that contain fats and similar things like that, food scraps. So similar campaigns, one looking at what you do in the toilet and one looking at what you do in the kitchen.
And have we become a lot better, would you say, at what we're putting down our sinks and down our loos, or do we still have a long way to go?
Well, so we do surveys each year, and so I've got some stats here, and everybody loves stats. So according to the survey in 2024, 27% of people were still regularly flushing damaging items down the toilet. So the first year that we did the survey was in 2018, and that figure was 36%. So there has been an improvement, but it peaked in 2022 for a variety of reasons. It got down to 21%. So what we're seeing now is a bit of a coming back again, and the numbers are disimproving a little bit. So in 2025, we're putting in a lot of effort to try and reach new ears, reach new people, and deliver the same message. But yeah, there's definitely ground to be made. There's been an improvement over the course of the campaigns, but we slipped a little bit, so we're trying a bit harder this year.
So, you know, have you any ideas to why that has happened? Have we become just lazy? Are we not thinking? Or have we have we forgotten the impact? You know, well, basically not thinking it through before we put, say, the wet wipe down the loo.
I think there's a couple of factors. I think there's a bit of a media saturation thing going on. We all absorb so much stuff that it gets lost in the fuzz, kind of. I think a big issue for us is that our under 35 segment, so young families, teenagers, young adults, they seem to be the ones that are doing it most often. And I suspect from, I've often worked in kind of media techie areas as well, that what you're seeing there is a shift in media exposure. So radio, TV, newspaper tends to be slightly older people. And if you're just on your phone all the time scrolling, maybe you're not encountering the message that we're pushing out there. So we're just kind of changing our approach slightly, basically. So we would have more concentrated on our overall reach of the campaign, the amount of people that we're getting to through traditional channels. No, we're still working social media. We're still working these other areas. But this year, we're putting more emphasis on trying to get through to people in that under 35 bracket.
You know what? That's actually quite surprising to me, because I would have thought it would be the other way around, and that young people who are very much leading the way when it comes to climate action would be very clued up on this. So it's surprising to me to find out that they're not.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think what you see is that the young people active in the space are more active. They're more proactive. You know, the people, it's not a great comparison, but the Greta Thunbergs of this world, you know, you're seeing these people that are prominent, that are involved in the space. But I think overall, the trend seems to be, due to media saturation, variation in the way people are taking in information, that at least in our campaigns, that's the category that we, year on year, we're not getting through to as clearly. I think it's just the case that you're on your phone doing other things, you see so much imagery, so much messaging, that it just gets diluted and you don't act on it.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Can you tell me then, how are you trying to get through to young people? How are you trying to get through to all of us, really, at the end of the day?
So what we've done this year, what we were focused on previously, is we would do these one-off national events. Well, we work regionals all year round. We do little events all year round. So this year, we're really focusing on universities. So new students in universities. So we've reached out to many of them in Trinity, Cork, Sligo. We're working about 6 or 7 universities. So we're going to go in September when we're all back. We're going to go there and do events. We're going to put up promotional materials in the toilets. Social media side of things, we always expand. There's only so much you can do on that side before you spend all your time doing social media. So it's physically going to these universities, physically putting posters up in there and physically doing events. That's where we're starting with this new push. There's a lot of environmental messaging out there. We know so much more about it now than we did in the 80s, 90s and the 90s. But how many of these things are you going to really take on board? If you see this stuff all the time, it can be tiring. So what we're trying to say is it's very simple things you can do at home to have an impact on this. And it's an easy way of having an impact. So ideally what we try and do is get our message out as far and wide as we can, but in a simple fashion, and get it to new eyes and ears as well.
Can you explain to me then the connection with Clean Coasts here?
Yeah, so we're a program within Clean Coasts, one of many. So the other ones that they do are Big Beach Clean, Love Your Coast, Ocean Heroes. They do the Blue Flag Awards, which are ongoing at the moment, and the Green Coast Awards. And then Think Before You Flush and Pour are programs within Clean Coast. And Clean Coast themselves are a charity program run through the Environmental Education Unit of Ontashka. And their remit is engaging communities in the protection of Ireland's beaches, seas and marine life.
Tell us about some of the initiatives which are taking place over the summer and even actually into September.
Yeah, so for ourselves, for Think Before You Flush and Pour, we've got regionals going on all year round across the country. So that's in schools, delivering workshops, going to festivals, delivering information events. And if you're interested in attending any of these, they're happening all year round. So look us up on social media and you can come along, no problem. And then nationally, we've got larger national campaigns. So the one I'm working on right now is the Blue Flag National Action, where we collaborate with local authorities across the country to provide information to beachgoers on to be responsible when using public toilets when you're out and about. And then Clean Coasts themselves. So as you know, Think Before You Flush and Pour work within Clean Coasts. What we have going on at the moment is working up towards the Big Beach Clean, which is an annual national initiative run by Clean Coast. And it actions communities and volunteers all across the country to help removing litter from the Irish coast. And it happens at the end of the bathing season, so in September. So if you're using these amenities over the summer, if you're there, you're swimming, you're there with the family, you're going to see a lot of people out at the end of the summer cleaning up after all of us. So last year was an enormous turnout, almost double what we had in 2023. It was 15,000 volunteers moved 95 tons of waste from the Irish coastline, which is incredible. And the registrations will be opening for that. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but it's over the summer they open and you can sign up as an individual. You can sign up and join a group. There's many different ways of doing it. And that's a very easy way to go out and contribute to the health and wealth of the Irish coastline.
And of course, also, I would suspect that one of the messages that you would like to get across to over the summer is if you are out on the beach and you see litter, you know, if everybody just picked up one piece of litter, just think of the positive difference that would make.
Absolutely. One of our main campaigns is a 2-minute beach clean, which is what it says on the tin. Spend 2 minutes gathering up a few bits and pieces and stick them in the bin, because it seems kind of passive, but it has a huge impact, because I know you're concentrating on climate change in this series, and plastic waste has an impact on climate change, and you doing that bit of a cleanup does have a positive impact. It's an easy thing to do, and it's something that people should try and do if they're out using these amenities.
So Patrick, if anybody wants to find out more information about the Think Before You Flush, Think Before You Pour campaigns, initiatives, where is the best place for them to get that information?
So www.thinkbeforeyoupour.org or thinkbeforeyouflush.org, or you can just search them in Google. We have a website there that shows a lot of what we're doing. And on socials, we have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and TikTok. We're very active on there. And if you want to go a step further, there's over 2,000 Clean Coast groups across the country, over 45,000 volunteers. There's probably one near you. So if you want to go out and do beach cleans and contribute that way, look us up. Look up Clean Coasts online and you'll find a group that you can join.
And just a final question for you, Patrick. If there's one particular message that you'd really like to get across to adults, to parents, to teenagers, to young people this morning, what would it be?
I think if you're so inclined, get involved. As in, there's so many groups out now working in this space that if you feel like you're hearing so much information that's doom and gloom, you can contribute, as in you can join a Clean Coast group, start a Clean Coast group, attend one of our many events, get involved in the Big Beach Clean, spend a couple of hours at the end of the summer and you've done your part for the Irish environment. From the perspective of Think Before You Flush and Pour, it's very, very simple. Try and avoid flushing anything down the toilet, apart from pee, poo and paper, the 3 P's. That's all we tell everybody. And in the kitchen, try and avoid pouring oil down the sink. There's other factors in there, but that's the big one. They're the two big ones from my campaign.
Patrick Cross, campaign officer for Think Before You Flush and Think Before You Pour campaign. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Carol.
And that wraps up this morning's Hours to Protect. I'm Carol Dooley. Thank you to our guests. Thank you for listening. And a reminder, if you would like to find out more about the Hours to Protect initiative, you'll get all the information on our website, sunshineradio.ie, and you'll be able to listen back to any previous episodes there too.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.